Hello, 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 all you beautiful and wonderful mixologists out there. It's your girl, Moni, and you are mixing with Moni. Honey, I'm so happy to be home. Y'all thought I was playing with you when I said I was back, but I promised I would try. And try is exactly what I have done. And I'm so excited to be back into the swing of things, back into the fold, talking and enjoying currently Salt Lake City and all the other things that Bravo has coming up. And in order to do that, I just had to bring along someone else. That solo episode that I tried to do just took a lot out of me. So many responsibilities, all the things you have to cover. So I brought in some amazing, amazing help to get through this episode and all the things that the Salt Lake City Girls has for us lately. Jenny from Bravo and Blaze, who I have been dying to promote and collab with for a long, long time. For a lot of reasons that my listeners probably know and can assume, those who are new, I absolutely love her account and I love the way she covers these things. So I am so excited to welcome you for the first time to Mix with Moni. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. You said so many nice things about me. I'm like
Yeah.
shook, like Lisa Barlow in the Sprinter van.
Oh my gosh, Lisa just. This is her season. I'm having a very nice time watching her be the most ridiculous character. Like, it is quite, it's really entertaining. I love this for her. Like, the delusion on this show this season is already quite high, but Lisa is just, she's having a different experience. And I think that's fantastic.
I mean, I love Lisa Barlow so much because of her, these moments that you're talking about,
Yeah,
like
right.
being kind of like unhinged over, Angie and Heather's relationship or whatever. I was like, what is happening right
That shook me. The jealousy
She
to be,
was
I
so
mean,
mad.
she was so upset and she made the whole thing about her. And I was like, absolutely, you go, Lisa. Like, yes, bring it back, circle it back to me. Excuse me, how do I not get, wait, how does she get it? And I don't get it. And Angie's like, you do hear me say it was 15 years coming, right? Like, hello. And Lisa's like, well, just, I have concerns. And I think that's fantastic. I think she's having a lovely season. I love this for her.
I always love her, so I can never say anything
Yeah,
bad. But
I
I do
do.
think there is more to that moment on the most recent episode where she kind of like lost it over Heather and Angie's relationship. I think for there's something deeper, and this is why I love Salt Lake City because they have that religion aspect that brings in
Yeah.
another like dimension to this, to all of this and the dynamics.
Right.
It makes it way more complex, which I love. And I think that because of the Mormonism, you got to remember Heather is a different type of Mormon than Lisa Barlow. Lisa Barlow is like the 2.0. Heather Gay was like the traditional, but then got banished
Yep.
because her husband divorced her. But Lisa Barlow, she's, what did they say? Terrestrial or whatever. On the,
Yes.
and this is the thing, like, I don't know that much about Mormonism. So I'm learning through the show. However, I grew up in with a religious background. My mother started a church, like
Ooh,
a Christian
that's speaking
church.
of very religious.
Yeah, and so like I have my own view on religion, and it has always intrigued me to learn more about other religions. And I just like I really didn't even think about Mormonism that much. I didn't realize it was flourishing as much as it is today. And I think with Salt Lake City, it kind of opened up the doors for me to explore it a little more. I started watching some
Yeah.
documentaries. I'm like, what is this all about, anyways? And then I'm
Right.
like, wait, there's gold plates and buried in the woods or something? Was it gold? Or I don't even
Yeah.
know. It's
The
like,
it's like the now see the secrecy, the hidden things, the all of those type of things I tend to love about studying religions. I took world religions in like college and high school, and never did anyone ever talk about the Mormon Church. And I found that
yeah.
even more fascinating.
Yes.
There's
It's
a
very new. It's still
yeah,
really new religion.
there's also still like a strong Mormon population here where I'm at in the DMV, because like we grew up on 495 and there's a picture that circulates every year of the Mormon temple that's in Montgomery County, but it looks like Disney World. Like it looks like the Disney World castle, so you cannot miss it. So if you are on the major artery anytime between DC, Maryland, and Virginia, you will see this giant Mormon tabernacle. So it's like it's been present. And you know, I've even seen a lot more young boys lately, what I believe is on a mission, because I've seen it, but I've never noticed it before in the same way, because I've never seen this show. And I think I totally agree. I'm learning through the show more deeply how the Mormon church is, but also the nuances of it. So what I like that's different than a documentary style, because that's usually one perspective. And then of course, sometimes they'll give a counter, but it seems like with a show like Housewives, it's so much more nuanced, because we're seeing, like you said, the dynamic between the women that is shaped by religion. It's not just that you were mean to me in high school or in college. Uh-huh. It's that Lisa was calling Heather a good time girl because she wants to be a good Mormon. And, you know, how full circle is that? Because uh-huh. Heather is like, no, I am a bad Mormon. Now she's kind of owning that. And that's like her thing at the moment. It's like, all the things, exposing it all and like living her mm-hmm. truth. But I think it's very interesting that Lisa is so concerned about being a good Mormon right now. And that's one of the main reasons why their relationship is always going to be a little bit flawed, because it wasn't just, you know, a difference of moral opinion. It is now very much so, I have these kind of feelings about your faith and how you're raising your family. Even down to Heather having big feelings and taking it to other ladies in the group, like Whitney, about her son going on a mission. Like they're talking about somebody else's kid. So it's just, you know, that
relationship. And I think that part, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but real quick, I wanted to circle back to the dynamic between Heather and Lisa. And I think that this part of it, Jack going on a mission, is making their relationship so much more complex. And I think that she was triggered in that moment, like not just by Heather and Angie's relationship, but even further from that, you know, like with Jack and then the mission. And also, I didn't know that missions, like I grew up in a church, so anytime they talked about a mission, it was always looked at as like a good thing, right? And so I'm just like, missionary, that's good, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then on Twitter in the last like week or two, you know, people are talking about Salt Lake City, of course. And I didn't even think of it in this way about people going, someone tweeted about how the mission is people forcing their religion onto people who didn't ask for it and trying to like force them to change. And the way that this person tweeted about it, I was like, oh my God, the way you said it makes me think of this like so differently now. And that mission part of it, because in the beginning, like when when this season started, episode one, when she said Jack's going on a mission, I was like, oh my God, she must be so proud. And then like seeing her break down and like now like thinking of it from that perspective, I'm like, oh my God, there is so much more that goes into this. Because another person who I'm friends with who loves conspiracy theories was also talking to me about it, about how like with Jack, him going on this mission is basically him committing his life to Mormonism, and he may not come back the same person, and that could change his relationship with his actual family. And I didn't even really think of that until like the last couple of weeks. Cause I'm like, oh my God,
it's so interesting. And you know, there's this dynamic, and I watch it solely only for entertainment value. Shout out to the Jewish community. They have all told me that this is not the best representation of them, but it is very entertaining. My Unorthodox Life on Netflix. It is.
That's a Good show. Oh,
damn, entertaining. But
that
especially the
one's
first
nuts.
season, it kind of reminds me of like that that's a possible situation that could happen. I mean, at the helm, her name escapes me right now, but
Batsheva. What is her name?
Oh my gosh. It's so I can remember everybody's name
Oh
but her.
my gosh, yeah, I can't even think of it right now. Oh my god,
And
it's
her
bothering me.
son, I think Arman, his name I remember, but
Now I need to
he
look it up.
is like he went to like school and decided to really kind of deep dive into his faith, and it has really strained his relationship with his mom because she is like vehemently against most of the practices and the things that he is holding very dear. Like kind of like Heather and speaking out against it and having big feelings about it and kind of like forcing, that is a real word, regardless of how we feel. Heather, this woman whose name I cannot remember,
Julia
they
Hart.
Julia Hart, there it is. Thank you. But Julia, Heather, they have those perspectives of like, because the worst possible things in life and treatment was done to them, and that's possible, and they were the best, they're kind of projecting this like, so then what is the point? You should not, like, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. It's not going to end well. And I think Lisa's point of view is like, it just hasn't been like that for me. And Heather's like, well, in my opinion, petty me, if I was Heather, would be like, yeah, because like you're not a real Mormon. Like you got to choose this life. And it's like held differently. And it seems like that is the burn, is like you're trying to portray a lifestyle that I had to live. Like I was that lifestyle. And but Lisa's also like, I just want you to accept me for me, because first of all, not that long ago, this was your life. And we had that in common. And now, we can't even have like a cordial relationship, but you can get with Angie K, who you apparently have hated since high school. Like it's just the math isn't mathing to Lisa.
I think this is funny because in the beginning of Salt Lake City, going back to season one, it felt like Heather looked up to Lisa as the Mormon 2.0. And now it feels like it's completely shifted.
Completely opposite.
And it's so bizarre to me because I'm not
It
used to seeing Lisa like wanting validation from
Yes.
someone or like wanting acceptance. And it's
Yeah.
so interesting because I don't know if Lisa Barlow, because remember she was saying on the most recent episode, like, I'm not worthy to go in the temple, and like people wear garments and things like that or whatever. Like, shoot, where was I going with this? I just got distracted by an airplane going by.
Yes,
But
story of my life never living near an airport.
yeah, seriously, I'm sorry. I hope that this doesn't mess up your.
It's okay.
Oh. Okay, so Lisa Barlow, I just feel like, oh, so Lisa seems like she's wanting acceptance from Heather to keep the connection between her and Jack. You know,
Yeah.
like if Heather says, like, yeah, you are a good Mormon, then Lisa might feel like, oh my gosh, my son and I can still have our relationship. Like nothing's going to change. Because let's be honest, it's not as a parent, I don't know if you're a parent or not, but as a parent, like the only normal is like change. Your kid is constantly changing. You have to get used to these new phases and everything. And I think obviously they're going through a huge change, but there's more to it where it's like, at least there's so much that's left to be unknown because she's not even going to be able to talk to him for 2 years. Like, what is that all about? Why can't they talk?
Yeah, like they're, I mean, listen, Heather raises some excellent points every time they talk about it. I have mixed feelings about that scene with her and Whitney, discussing it, just because as much as I think Heather's experience is so valid, I just am also hesitant to encourage her to just pop up on people and say, hey, do you condemn the Mormon church? Like, almost like the exact same thing as the, you know, hey, do you profess, you know, to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? She's it's like, I need you to condemn it right now before we have a conversation. You said it, that they were terrible. Remember? Ally. Like, she's calling on her allyship. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, she even brought up like transphobia, I think. And what else did she say? She was really going hard.
She remembered that she loves is Black people and gays, which is all the things that the Mormon church hated that she told us in the beginning, which I will not lie, my grandfather, my mom's dad, did. Growing up, he did try. He was really seeking religion at a point in time, and he did go to that famous Mormon temple on the highway that everybody knows, and he was indeed turned away. That is a true story. He was very against religion for a considerable amount of decades because of that reason. Like, he literally saw, I mean, you can't not see it from the highway. So he felt called to it, and they did turn him away because of his race. And that was crazy. I mean, that was a long time ago. I doubt much has changed because if a blonde white woman like Heather is, you know, beefing with the Mormon church and has, you know, and they seem like they feel that she is an unsavory character. Oh, honey, I'm not making it in the vicinity. And that's just fine, apparently. So
I'm so scared of Mormons.
I think, but because like we have to be leery of any one entity that controls the government, because I'm pretty sure that the whole thing of like church and state, which the state meant government, but this is literally the state's government. And they have a lot of control, like the drinking. So what do the girlies do when they visit and go to the lodge? Are y'all not having spiked hot chocolate? Like, I'm concerned that we're not we can't do shots in Vail. Like, what's happening?
I just
got no, that's a different state, isn't it?
I just got this book about this girl, I think she was like a journalist. I only made it like 5 pages in, but the opening scene is her going to Salt Lake City. And apparently that's the epicenter of where mommy bloggers originated. And I didn't know this. And so she's like fangirling hard over the houses of these influencers that she's been seeing and following for like a decade. And I just, shoot, now I lost my train of thought again.
No, it's okay, because I remember that when Salt Lake City was first announced, people were very concerned that it would be like an all mommy blogger cast. And they were concerned that it would be like all these mom bloggers who have like built these careers on the internet. I did once watch a show that was, it's on Netflix, it's called Dream Home Makeover or something. And
they're in Salt Lake City.
They're fantastic decorators.
Yes.
The least exciting individuals I've ever seen in my life. So it was a terrible show, but the decor was popping, and and I definitely followed the whole mom talk situation, like very.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Closely. And for those of you who do not know what that is, there was this giant scandal of a bunch of young 20-something Mormon moms and their husbands. And these moms all got together constantly to do dances and randomly like tell their own business. And it turns out that there allegedly was an entire, like, they were a swinger community. And they would swing and transition, soft swinging. That was the difference. Yeah. And it's like a very thing to not be in Utah and Salt Lake City. It's like against. But because they're all Mormon and they're not allowed to really explore or do anything when they get married, they just kind of do allegedly the swappy things, and there were parties. And this one girl got in trouble of the mommy group
because of like 12 women. It's a lot of freaking mm-hmm. women. And she got in trouble for apparently like having a continued affair with one mm-hmm. of the men that she was soft swinging that then turned into hard swinging, I assume.
To a full-blown affair.
affair, and like lost everything. Everyone was mad at her, so she started calling people out and saying, yeah. like, you were swinging with me, here are pictures, like there are, oh, it was a hot mess. Shout out to Real Moms of Bravo because they did an entire deep dive on it, so you do not have to go and do the research. It is all in like the highlights if you care, because they did a nice recovery. You don't have to Google it, but that's what we thought Salt Lake City was going to be, because the goal is for all these women to be mommy bloggers. So like walking Utah, like a curated system.
Do you remember Whitney in the beginning, they were accusing her of being a swinger?
Yes.
I wonder if they're trying to like,
thought that that girl that she brought her friend of, that they, that was some conspiracy theories that I can't confirm or deny that I took part of, but I will say that, you know, arguments were made and she only disappeared because they were able to like link some stuff, because also Utah is known for terrible political things. Like,
oh, the one who yeah. goes happy birthday to yes. like Jen Shaw, but it wasn't her birthday.
Yes.
Okay.
No, precisely that. Mm-hmm.
So now I remember, okay, that book, the one of the first things she mentioned, she goes, because they don't drink alcohol, so they have these shops where they like, I shouldn't even say spike, but they put like Diet Coke and coconut syrup. That's like their libation. Like, yeah. Ooh.
They've been mocktailing it up for years.
Yeah. I actually really was sad. Like, I don't drink anymore. So I was like, oh, I wonder, let me try that.
You know, me neither. Ever since I have taken to alternative health, you know, resources, I have realized that drinking is not really as nice and fun as I once thought it was. Because whenever I do a little bit, I'm like, oh, this is unpleasant. This is not a fun time. Y'all can go ahead and keep it. So maybe I would have gotten just fine along in, you know, Utah, but it just seems wild that the church could be able to make that distinction, because you're not allowed to drink in the Mormon church, yeah. that the state of Utah has like a liquor lower limit.
I think they said you can't even have like hot drinks or something.
Yeah. Or like you can't do, there's no doubles. You can't have a double vodka, like, or a vodka with two shots.
I'm sure.
Like that. They're like, and it, because something about the whole Heather ordering vodka and water a couple years ago was really disturbing. And that is what came to light about Utah, is that that's actually like a local tourist cocktail.
That's so,
God bless.
That's like living in a different country, I feel like.
Yeah, because to me, I mean, it's so beautiful, but I'm a ski bunny. I like to be inside of the lodge, though. Like, I'm cute. I'm in the outfit. I'm cozy looking like a little bunny. And I'm like with the hopefully spiked coffee next to the fireplace while y'all go play in the snow. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And without that, that's too sober. Because if they're not letting me do the drinking, I'm sure a lot of things are not allowed. And that's really concerning, because like, what do they do for fun? Just get married and apparently soft swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have to know your thoughts on this, how we even began. Is Meredith has had some big ambitions this year to come after people's husbands, with the rumors and the nastiness. She's like, I have the secrets in the vault. Everybody on the show came to play this year. I will say, like, are they well produced? And it's a little bit scripted. Yes, but it seems like they're doing their own self-producing. So like, it's not a production scripted thing. They all just came to do their jobs. Whitney is stirring this pot like nothing I've ever seen before. Meredith is ready at all times with a new accent and a brand new allegation. You know, she started off strong and Monica is doing the dirty work and letting everybody know that she's poor and you've been talked about and your husbands have been talked about. And she lets Angie K know that her husband is allegedly gay to Meredith and sleeps with a bunch of men, and they have an arrangement. I'm not gonna hold you though. I'm not gonna lie. when they said that last week, and I was a little sleepy and a little elevated, I will say I thought they were talking about Meredith.
About the husband?
Yes. I thought they were talking about Meredith having an arrangement because her husband sleeps with the men. And I thought they were saying that.
Oh.
I realized that they were saying that Meredith was saying that about Angie K. And I immediately thought that could be low-key a pot calling the kettle gray.
There was a blind going around, I think, last season. It was when Angie H. was on. And the blind was that somebody's husband goes to Chicago and hooks up with men or whatever.
Yeah.
And when that came out, I was like, I think it's Angie H's husband. but then now this is coming out. So I wonder if like that's what that blind was about. But
yeah, probably.
Either way, it felt dirty to watch. And it made me feel very sad for Sean, especially when he started crying. Like, I didn't even think he would care, let alone cry. And really bothered me. And then it made me feel sad for like the whole gay community and like why does it even matter? And I don't know. And I like that he said, you know, it wasn't so much being, you know, my sexuality being questioned, but more the infidelity part. And
yeah,
that is a big deal. It's like both of those accusations are very serious, and I feel sad for them because I think they were kind of blindsided. However, yeah. I will say this, like if you go on a reality show, just prepare yourself for any type of rumor to be started about you. Like,
absolutely.
That's just like a default that you
absolutely
have to be prepared for.
Like, this is light work. If you look at Jersey, they would have had your husband gay, gag tied and in a, you know, a prison chain gang or something like that. Like, he's on his way to federal tax court or something. Like, they go in on these shows, and it happens when you go on a reality show. We think there's a standard. We think there's a moral code. We're told time and time again that there should be or there is. And we're always wrong. And guess what? Yeah. We watch anyway, or watch because of it. So it's never going to stop happening. But it also seems like Salt Lake knows what they need to do to stay, you know, up front and on the come up. You know, they're going to have, I think, arguably even a better season than Potomac this season. Because while Potomac looks really good, it seems really dark and it seems really sad and kind of dramatic, kind of, you know, later Atlanta years. Whereas Salt Lake City seems to be like, we just wanted to be everything you thought we were, which is vapid and ridiculous and rich and fun, before we had a criminal on the show. And then like that kind of got all the spotlight. Because now that Jen Shah is gone, we have a lot, you know, the world is our oyster, especially through the eyes of Monica. And I'm wondering, I'm curious, what are your thoughts about Monica? There's very mixed reviews. Some think she's here to play. Some think she's, you know, doing the right things. Others think that if you're going to complain about people being rich on Housewives, like, know what show you signed up for, which, you know, hard agree. But like, so for better or worse, even Lisa Barlow aside, because I have a tendency to side with Lisa regardless, what are your thoughts about her joining the cast, you know, taking her ex-friend's snowflake?
I have conflicting thoughts on Monica. For one, I interviewed Jen Shah's close friend, Marilla Bueno, who used to be her assistant. He was on season one. He was accused of stealing from Meredith's store. So I interviewed him last year, and also he was friends with Heather Gay and Jen Shah. They were like a little trio before the show even started, and he used to work for Heather, got quote unquote fired from Heather, and then continued to work for Heather, and now doesn't speak to Heather at all. So that's an interesting dynamic. But I talked about Monica with him because I feel like the only reason Monica is on the show is because of what she said about her connection to Jen Shah. Like, of course, producer, that's low hanging fruit for producers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who wouldn't? I mean, I think that it's almost a missed opportunity if they don't go after the girl who's so desperate to be on the show that she would testify in court and then turn around and take this girl's job. I mean,
that's another thing. That's the thing. When I was talking to Murillo, I was like, so tell me the relationship, you know, like between Monica and Jen Shaw. And he goes, there were inconsistencies in what Monica has said on the show and what Murillo has said. And granted, take things with a grain of salt. I don't know if he's telling the absolute truth or not. However, I don't see any reason for him to lie. And it just, some of the things, even like the perception of Monica on the show, something just doesn't seem right. For one, the way that Jen Shaw and Monica met was through Thumbtack. Like when you hire a handyman, so the Shaws, the Shaws needed to hang some shelves in their house. Remember they're in that rental Shaw chalet or whatever.
The Shaw Chateau.
Or Chateau. And they needed some shelves to hang. So they went on Thumbtack, hired a handyman. That handyman came to their home. And with him was his wife.
That's at the time.
Kind of weird, right? His wife is Monica. Like, well, I would not go to my husband's job.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've seen it. I did hire a man to do, to put together a bed for me. It was from Walmart. So, you know, there's some judgment. I was young. and it was not my credit card. So you got to do what you got to do. And he did bring his girlfriend so he could get through it faster. Yeah, I guess. I was like, I mean, they were in and out in about 15 minutes. So I had no complaints. But he did indeed. Okay. I also was taken aback. I was a little like, huh, okay.
I would feel weird. So another thing about that, though, is that she says she never got paid by Jen Shaw and she never worked for her. But according to Murillo, Jen and Murillo were driving. I don't know where he said, but they're in the car. Monica calls them crying, like hysterically crying. And they knew that she was having issues in her marriage. So they're like, what's wrong? You know, what's going on? She goes, can you help me out? I need to pay my car bill this month, or I can't pay my car or whatever. So she said, I will work for you to pay it off or whatever. And Jen was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. And paid for it. And so I guess that is how she was her assistant. It's all very foggy, a work off of debt type of thing. It just didn't, I don't know. Knowing that information and seeing what we see on the show, something feels off to me. And however, if I didn't know this side information, I would think that Monica is great. I think she's funny. She's been, well, not completely, like the whole attacking Angie thing is very hypocritical. And
coming after Lisa for having money, it's also a little weird because it's not just Lisa. She's not the only materialistic one of the bunch. So it's just a little like,
where
just
do you think that ring is? Where do you think that ring is? Because I want to find it. I think it's in a pawn shop, or they
took it to a jeweler's to like actually have it like bought back.
Can you sell those on eBay? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, you can, but you know, wow, that would track ambitious choice.
You would get tracked real easily.
Yeah, but that thing is long gone, and I can't blame them.
But do you think it's a stranger, or do you think it's someone?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I think Monica took it. Oh, wow. There's a thought. Now, listen.
Wait, one thing I got to say.
There's a lot of motive.
Can I just say one reason?
Yes.
I think why she, if you watch the whole thing, she said, I helped you find your ring. I even put my hand in the tampon thing.
Yeah.
Why did she say find if she didn't find it? Like, it almost feels like a slip of the mind. Like a
Freudian
slip. Yeah. And she talked about it so much. Like, Lisa did talk about it. Like, fair. That was kind of, I don't know.
I could see where, you know, if I'm going to put on my own tinfoil hat, I could see it because then it'd be like, if Monica thought to herself when she took it, she's not going to miss it. Like, who cares? Like, she has so much. I just need this. Like, I have three kids, blah, blah, blah. And Lisa talking about the price because she is materialistic kind of puts like a pin in Monica's balloon of like it, you know what I mean? It's like this weird thing where you almost like have to over analyze something and you kind of have to like over punish something because you feel guilty about it. Like you're trying to, it's your way of defending yourself against what it is that you did, because you're just like, it's not that bad. Like everyone just freaking relax. Like I'm sure she'll be fine. She has insurance. She just called and replaced it. Like, do you even understand what I'm going through? Like that kind of thing.
So also when you look at the reactions of everyone, when she, after Lisa lost her ring, everyone's like, oh, like whatever. They were just like, that sucks. You know, whatever. Mary was like, I don't even think that's worth 60,000 or whatever. The only person who said something, the only person who said something that was like kind of offbeat was when Monica right away, she was like, oh, that's in a pawn shop already. And like that was jarring to me when I watched it for the first time, because I was like, my mind would never go there. So for her to just like, I was just kind of like,
okay, whoa. So mine would have, because I'm a cynic, but I did think it was very rude to just say outright, because I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was already so apathetic. She already felt like she was so rude about it that it almost felt like, like there was no empathy. There was no sympathy. Yeah. Like even more than just the evasiveness of the other housewives who were just like, I mean, yeah, girl, that sucks. But like, she was angry about it. Like, girl, that's already gone. Okay. People are starving. And it just was like so much more fervent than someone who doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. So the thing that I also thought was weird is the logic of being angry at Lisa for being upset about her ring did not make sense to me, because Monica's claiming, I have nothing, I have nothing. Like, if that would be even more reason to be like, wow, that's a significant amount of money. We better find this effing ring, because that's a car, you know? Like,
yeah.
I would think
Brandy Glanville would have tried to use this as an opportunity to kind of like suck up to that person and then get Lisa Vanderpumped for a while.
Yeah, that would have been,
I would have.
That's low hanging fruit for Monica. And it's weird to me that she didn't take the opportunity to do that. It was like, why attack Lisa for that? I just like, it doesn't make sense.
Attack
to
Lisa
me.
For being what? Too frivolous with her own ring, for wearing it in like, an airport, for having it all together.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's,
she was
so
mad at her for having
me.
It because there are people like her. Because Monica, you can't be like mad about this.
Yeah.
And then say things like you went to a Louis Vuitton store and bought a bag. Cry me a fucking river, sis. Like, are you kidding me?
She's driving a Range Rover or Land Rover or something. Like, you don't have to drive that car. You could get a car for $60,000.
You could just leave that girl's ring alone and go get a Honda.
Exactly.
First of all, Hondas are very well done cars.
Very reliable.
Shout out to the Honda community. Them things last a long time. I think too. That's great.
Yeah.
So maybe go with that instead of something with expensive repairs. As someone who owns a Volkswagen, girly, whatever you got going on can't be worth it, because I'm already at my end. So I just find that a little, it just felt a little suspect that she would be so upset at Lisa for having things when by definite, because other people are struggling, when one, you're on Housewives. The show's premise is not that. So it seems like, why are you mad specifically at Lisa for that? And if it wasn't because you stole her ring, what is the point? Like, what is the problem?
Yeah.
Because Meredith got money. She owns a store. She's like, Meredith wants everyone to think that she is Miss Fashion Icon, and she is not, but she wants you to believe such and things. So like, where is your disdain for her or Mary, who allegedly be stealing money?
Oh, Mary. Exactly.
Like, what is it?
So you just made me think of something when you mentioned Meredith. Murillo said the first time he met Monica was that time that they went to Meredith's store and he was accused of stealing. And so my first interview with him last year, he wanted to come on to clear his name, because that's what he's known as now because of the show. And meanwhile, he explained it and he said, you know, like, that was like, I didn't know that we even had it. And as soon as they told us, I brought it back immediately. Like, that was a mistake. That was not like, oh, I stole something kind of thing. And even Meredith she heard the interview. She talked to Murillo after that, and she said that she believed him. And so I just find it weird. Like, what Monica shows up.
You're doing the thing with the strings. You know, if you ever watch every, you know, Only Murders in the Building or are on the internet, then they, you know, the string with the with the pins and the pictures. Yes, yes.
Monica's here.
I went there immediately.
Rillo's here.
I went there immediately. Again, a cynic.
Yeah, and she also said Jen Shaw fired her assistant and she never fired Murillo. So I don't know why she said that either. Like, there's just inconsistencies that I'm like, I need to know more information before I make a full judgment. But if I get rid of all of that behind the scenes stuff that I know, and if I was just watching her from the show, I would say she's a good addition and I want to like her. I just don't know if I can.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's murky.
But even, you know, without the, you know, the conspiracies behind it, I find her a little irritating now. I liked her in the beginning, but now it's like, again, what show do you think this is? This is not Survivor. Like, we are not trying to rough it. The goal, the purpose, the sole reason we're here. Like, would you be mad at Lisa Vanderpump? Like, would you be yelling like this at Dorit? Like, I just like get, I'm confused as to what she thought she was signing up for, because it's not giving, you don't know. Which, you know what I mean? Like, your target
it's
audience.
It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest. It's
it
like,
is.
You clearly don't know how to read the room, because this is a show that's been, this is a franchise
Mary
that's
gave
been
everyone
going for
like
decades.
Little Louis Vuitton bags and then took it back when you disrespected her. Please get out. Remember the 2003 Dom Perignon and people died in a heat wave? We are not on the like the rational side of finances.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear your struggle. We didn't like it for Brandy Glanville. We don't like it for you. But also, we're assuming you're this upset, but you're going through the divorce. You were able to get that handbag because at the moment, you're still at least getting probably some kind of help in some capacity. So I'm just, it's also giving, you'll be like Ashley, like you're going to be somewhat likely okay. You're not poor. Like, you're not roughing it. The people of America who you assume wouldn't give a fuck about watching Lisa Barlow lose her ring, you're not on that level, actually, because most of them do not have Range Rovers or could just feel insecure around a new group of friends and go to Louis Vuitton and buy a bag and cry about it. Like, I'm a teacher. Like, this is what dreams are made of, as Lizzie McGuire said. Like, there's no way in hell that you want me. You expect, you know, you want Lisa Barlow to not cry over her ring, but you want me to cry you a river over a Louis Vuitton bag you had to buy because you couldn't fit in with your new co-workers. Girly.
The logic is very flawed. And
the math
does
not math at all. Like, where do you think you are is my question. And she's like, Zara, girl, again, teacher, what are you thinking? Like, the girlies, there is not even Zara in all the states.
We just got Zara here not too long ago.
Exactly. Like, girl, just again, you are not Miss Every Woman, but also we don't expect you to be. You're on Housewives.
Yeah.
We don't want that at all.
I wish that she came in knowing, like, okay, they obviously brought me here because of Jen Shaw, and like just like leaned into it and been like, all right, I'm here because of this, but I don't know. Like, she's just not.
Yeah, like lean into the
fulfilling the assignment. I don't know. She doesn't understand the assignment. I think
she should live, you know, lean deep into the bitchery of, you know, testifying against a former friend / boss or whatever.
Why did she stop talking about that? Because also they never went to trial. So what trial or how was she a witness in a trial that didn't happen? I'm like a little confused. And I'm not saying she's lying about that.
They could have had like a pre-motion or something and like call, like, and they would have presented, because I think that can be a thing. Like, the federal government can present what the case is going to look like to the prosecution or
to the
plaintiff's side. And they'd be like, so this is what we got. And then Jen's girlies could be like, so let's talk about a deal.
Details I want to know, though. If Monica's going to come in and be like, I was, you know, a witness on her trial, whatever, like, you better like bring receipts and clarify exactly what you mean by that. And I'm not saying go into every single detail to like expose Jen Shaw's
situation. At the reunion, I'd be shocked if Annie doesn't make her cop to every single thing. what the relationship is. I call it now. He's going to be like, I want to know what the actual relationship was. Yeah. The same way he tried to ask Jen Shah to define what she does. He's going to ask Monica to define what she did. And like, what was the relationship? How did you get involved in the federal situation? And to what extent was your involvement? Better. Because Meredith is already trying to get, she wanted credit for calling the feds. Allegedly, it was Monica. Monica is trying to tell us that she was the one who allegedly called the feds. So I'm like, oh, if you're going to take that from my girl Meredith, who wanted people to believe that she sent a woman to prison for liking a tweet about her son's sexuality against his grown ass consent as a grown ass man. I just, wow.
I have disliked Meredith so much since the beginning until this season. I've done a complete 180. I'm like,
it is giving everything that Dorit, I think, wanted to be. Meredith somehow slid into that.
Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy to me because for every bit of like, I want to like Dorit in the fake accent, the over like hyped glam for a very simple looking man that you're married to, like the fashion moments that are like big and tweetable and, you know, the things like the extraness and the whole shtick that Dorit did, and I'd be like, I can't always get behind it, so she's a little annoying. Every bit of that I find Meredith to be successfully, and that's crazy because that's the mold that Dorit actually created. And I don't hate it. Her accent is 10 times stronger this year. I have no idea where she's from at the moment. It is very, very intense.
Wow. But you did that really good.
Thank you. I have fallen asleep to it because I put on Housewives to rock me to sleep a lot. It's the calm app for, you know, my inner psyche. So I put that on and I can hear it. And it just, you don't want me to talk about the husbands. Like, drunk Meredith, highlight of my life. That was
my God.
Quality television.
The whole trip to Palm Springs needs some kind of an award. I don't know if there's one that exists. They need to create one.
The nastiness. But because I'm like, I don't even think she knows that she's saying the nastiness. I don't think she means like the fact that she's alleging that her husband likes to have sex with men. I don't think she means that, but she's so drunk. We'll never know. But also, that doesn't look great otherwise. Like, what are you talking about? And I just thought that the producers really like let it stick because this episode was actually called Rumors and Nastiness. And I think that's fantastic. My last question for you is, like, what is the thought behind Heather extending the olive branch to Angie K, and what move could that be? Because my initial thought with Heather is always that, you know, she has leaned in very deeply to being a good housewife as well as about a bad Mormon, to which I respect. I actually don't have a problem. I think Heather's actually serving it up this year by just kind of owning it and stop and no longer trying to be the people's favorite, like the crowd's favorite, and just kind of being like, no, I'm going to just like be a Tamara energy or whatever, like just lean into it. But so it's like, what could then the purpose be behind this Angie K olive branch? Because if anything, now is the time to hold true. The girlies are siding with you. I just want to think about what her motive might be there.
I have a conspiracy.
Love it. You're coming in hot today, Jenny. I love it. I love this.
I mean, well, Salt Lake City revived my love for Housewives, but
same. This season is really doing it for me.
This season for sure. But even like when season one started, I was like, oh, this is everything because of the religion aspect.
Okay. Yeah.
Really? Because I was like, all the other franchises, I'm kind of like, whatever. But Salt Lake, I get like adrenaline flowing.
Okay. But
with Heather, so at first when we started watching the show in season one, I thought Lisa was the bad guy and I thought Heather was the good guy. And then by the end of the season, I was like, oh hell no, Heather is the worst. Uh-huh. Lisa Barlow is queen. And it's just kind of stayed that way ever since. And through season one, season two, and season three, I was like, Heather is obsessed with Lisa Barlow. She is totally like obsessed with wanting her to like her, wanting her to like think good about her, whatever. And when the black eye came out, I was like, guys, this was not Jen Shah. This was Heather Gay. She would, this is my conspiracy. She was in the dark in that little casita, whatever, by herself with the lights off, looking in the mirror, staring in the mirror and repeating Lisa Barlow over and over again till she just stabs herself in the eye. And then that's how she gets a black eye. But I think Heather's motive is to piss off Lisa Barlow.
Yeah.
If Angie K is her friend.
I mean, it'd be a good one. It'd be a good one. I mean, it also brings the attention like all the way back to Heather. And I think Heather fights for it just as much as Lisa does. She knows that Lisa has become a fan favorite for being kind of like a bitchy, you know, delusional person. But that's what people like. We don't want the what Heather was trying to be. Like, we saw you purge her, you know, your trauma from the Mormon church and everything. You know, we saw you cry after it. Give it up. Let it go. The world is bigger than the Mormon church. Great. She got that check. So she did that. Okay. Lisa is able to stay a Mormon and still be liked. How is that possible? Oh, because she's a badass. And that is something that Lisa is self-proclaimed badass, and she wants to make sure that people see her as like this new hip version of whatever Heather couldn't be, which she couldn't get to. And it pisses off Heather for a lot of reasons, and a lot of which makes sense. But also, she's going to always want Lisa's approval. But Lisa, we've seen, is also always going to want Heather's approval because Heather was the superior Mormon. She was the ideal Mormon, and she really wants her to be able to like kind of like give her blessing. Like, listen, this is for me. I understand you don't like the Mormon church now, but could you just maybe for me XYZ, like bless it, or say that my son and I are going to have a good relationship. And Heather's like, no, dear, I don't condone it like at all. So no, like I'm not. And Lisa's like, oh, so now basically because the tables have turned and I need your approval, you're like, no, thank you. That's how Lisa is likely taking it. And I'm going to side there if that's what she wants.
I'm really appreciating the dynamic between Lisa and Heather much more this season than ever before. I'm really liking this like power struggle and like, approval, like, but like you could see, and this is true for everyone, right? Like we all have our insecurities, but we also all have like, you know, our strengths. And sometimes we may go through that whole, like, you know, fake it till you make it. And I think I see some of that with both of them. And like, you can kind of see when it shifts, like when they really truly do feel confident, and then when they don't, and like they try to pretend that they are. And it's just interesting because it's almost like an inverse relationship. Like when Lisa's feeling secure, Heather's feeling insecure, and then vice versa. And I just find their relationship so fascinating now because I'm like, I can't unsee this anymore.
Yeah, they seesaw a lot, like really a lot. And, you know, their dynamic is always going to be very interesting, and I don't think they'll ever actually, you know, come to like each other truly, not genuinely. It'll probably be more of like a respectful, like, you know, into a duel type of thing. Like we'll just all lower our weapons and go about our business kind of thing. But also the idea of, you know, they can be cordial amongst each other. Everybody has like their one person in the group always, but Mary does not. And I wonder where you stand on Mary being back on the cast, because it's mixed reviews. I find it hilarious and I'm having a nice time. Her unhinged Watch What Happens Live with Z-Way last night or on Tuesday night was iconic for many ways. Not all that are cringe and not all that are iconic. So just a lot happening there, but you know, it's left a lot of people questioning what was the purpose of her being back if she doesn't like anybody. And her answer to that was to help you guys out, which lets us know they asked her, and I think that's iconic. That's amazing. And regardless of how you feel about Mary, that is that's good.
Trailblazing. Like, this is a first. No one has ever done this before. So there's that right there. I mean, I think Mary's hilarious. I freaking love watching her.
Absolutely.
I used to be terrified of her because when you Google her, like, you find a lot of very unsavory things. And
yeah,
I was terrified in the beginning when nobody knew. And then around second season, I think that's when she really, second season was post COVID, and
yeah,
something happened where she just became like pure entertainment. And I was like, okay, I'm conflicted because there's all these awful things about her, but then I'm watching this person who's hilarious. And then also Up and Adam interviewed Mary's mother after Mary didn't go back, I think. And it actually made me think and look at Mary Cosby differently than I originally had. Like, I see Mary more like, she's an adult and she should be responsible for her actions, whatever she does.
Yeah, no, I know.
However, I do think that she was raised in an abusive environment.
Yep.
And you know what happens? Oftentimes victims become the abuser, and it's a cycle. So I do kind of like have empathy for her in that aspect, while still being like, but Mary, you're also like a grown ass woman. Like, you should learn that you can't say mean things to people like that. Like, just, I find it funny that she literally, with the hibachi or Versace game they did, she said hibachi to everything. She does not give a shit.
No, she does not. She cares not at all. And it's very funny. Like, she's, it's not even on her radar to care. Like, someone else's feelings seem to just like not even be like in her ether. She's just kind of like, oh, okay, like, what does that have to do with me?
I do too. That's so fascinating because I can't imagine.
There's a lot of disassociation that I can imagine she's had to do in her life. And I can see that it is like she would have to disassociate, probably. I can't imagine the kind of manipulation that she might have been like experienced growing up. And when that
granddaddy,
so somebody was deeply manipulating, so she might have also had to disassociate just so that people's feelings, their influxes and their void, like all the things that they use to manipulate, like doesn't affect her. She had to just kind of like check out, it seems like, because it does seem a lot of time like Mary is checked the fuck out.
Yeah,
it does. So it seems like she's not always with us, but yet here and with it at the same time. It's so great. I mean, taking a Sprinter van by yourself to go get McDonald's because you will not be outside, that's just peak Taurus energy to me. I need to see her birth chart. It's got to be one of them, because the way I'm like, I like to look at the outdoors. I want to experience the outdoors, but I will not participate in the outdoors. Oh, where are the snacks? I would like to have the snacks. But the only thing is, though, she did shade Monica for always eating. And that is not Taurus energy. That was so wild.
Remember, she said that she was
making fun of Lisa Barlow. You put in your body.
Yeah, she was making fun of Lisa Barlow for eating fast food. But then she goes to McDonald's. I was so confused. And I was like, you know what? That's just legendary behavior.
She told Monica, like, you don't care about what you put in your body, but you went to McDonald's like a day ago. So neither did she. She said, I was just hungry and there's nothing else around and I don't want to hang out with these girls. And I love that she just told Andy straight to their face, like, don't you know? Y'all called me, remember? Don't. Huh?
You asked me to help you.
Like, remember? Like, and they're like, oh, okay. It just, she had Z-Way gagged, and it was a wild experience. And I think that her being on the show, it's not harmful. I mean, at this point, nobody could top being as bad as what we've had with Jen Shaw. Like, we put up with her. And so it's just like, I'm not yet at the threshold with Mary of moral, you know, badness, for lack of a better word that I can't find. It's, I'm not there yet with, you know, no one should be abusing the church. I also grew up in a large church situation and it was not great, and it was very big and also felt very abusive in my opinion. And through the work of therapy, I can kind of not hate someone like Mary Cosby very much, but also her church was like 10 people. So just and a lot of disgruntled ones on the internet. So they're also grown people, if you're gonna say that to Mary, like, you know, they're grown. She's grown. Everybody's grown. Do something else with your time if you feel called to these things. But I really think Mary is just here to catch a check and get a suit. I think she disassociates from everything else that is going on other than checks and suits. Like, she just wants to be able to have her, you know, offering to go and get her plastic surgery, allegedly. And she wants, I mean, her outfits are very good this year. So she obviously hired a nice stylist. Yeah. So good.
I also noticed
that Meredith wasn't wearing a blazer, like a two-piece suit, and I was like, very shocked.
Oh, she had the cape.
And I'm like, oh, that's a good cape. Oh my goodness, you have arms up. That's so great. Love that for her. Come on, arms, let's do it.
She loves a cape. She wore a cape at BravoCon last year.
Okay, so a cape is like her thing other than suits, because the blazer situation is wild. I mean, it's like, you know, it's to have like
suit? That's too much. That's
taking it too far. Too freaking far. Especially if, you know, a signature look on Housewives, actually find very annoying. I think that's like the epitome of trying too hard to me. And yes, everybody on this season of Salt Lake City is trying too hard, but I think they're like also doing a very nice job of trying too hard.
Whitney is doing it pretty well.
Yeah, Whitney is actually sliding into role as like pot stirrer very easily.
Oh my gosh, she's doing it so easily.
I said, oh wait, okay, Tamra, like not. Yeah, you're right. The Mormon Church is really bad. So, you know, homophobic and, you know, terrible. Speaking of terrible, you know, I was just with Lisa and she actually had a really big reaction to you being friends with Angie Kagan. And what do you think about that? Like, she's really mad about it. Jealous.
The way she was wearing drag and went up to Meredith after Meredith stormed off. And by the way, when Meredith storms off, she walks like Mick Jagger. Like, she looks so cool. She's like screaming, like, don't you dare. And then she just walks away like this. I was like, wow, Meredith, I love you. But then Whitney goes back to her and she's like, hi, it's me again. And I just could not stop laughing. I'm
Dive in.
This girl. Bravo.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's got to be a producer in every group. There's one in every group. Mm-hmm. Kyle is on Beverly Hills. Giselle is on Potomac. I find pretty much everybody on New Jersey to just be, you know, fair game. Really, they're just all against the producers.
New York.
None of them are good enough to be producers yet. We don't know who we can trust because they haven't really produced much. They're not all on the same page on what kind of show they are. And I don't think we're going to find that out this year, this season, or next. It took Salt Lake City a few years and some purging, but like even without Jen Shaw, it needed to catch its legs. It needed to figure out who was going to be what and how. You can't just slide a person into an identity of a housewife franchise. You kind of have to create your own and just lean in hella hard. Like, that's the best way to do it. And that took time. It took pretty much until this season. I think that's why people are really liking it. So New York is not going to get that in this one season. So people being so upset that it's not iconic, neither was Roni season one. It wasn't yet. Yeah. In Manhattan Moms, I mean, we had to really crawl before we could sprint. Like, we didn't just like jump on the Brooklyn Bridge with Bethany and Ramona doing power walking and Bethany being told that she ain't worth a damn. Like, we didn't jump there. We got to ease ourselves in. Alex McCorr pretty much missed most of the time that she would have been a hit. She kind of came too early. So
yeah,
I think just
she did because now like Brooklyn is acceptable to everyone. Like,
exactly. Like, she and everybody is like, all the housewives, especially of New York, have now succeeded up to that level of upper echelon-ness that Alex was trying to portray that she had and had access to. All that she wanted to be in the Hamptons and go to St. Bart's and be at the Met. The girlies now of Roni have gotten there. So it just feels like, damn, Alex, you missed it by like you were just a stop too early. You got off like a stop too early.
Are we getting her? I don't know the status on the most, or I don't even know if it's the most recent, the Ultimate Girls Trip that she was on. Because there was a whole Brandi Glanville and Caroline Manzo altercation, and they're saying that they might not be able.
Sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, are they getting rid of the whole show?
I highly doubt that Bravo or Peacock will scrap an entire season of because, I don't
like they
there's no freaking way they'll waste don't all forget, that. There's no way.
Don't forget Real Housewives of New York, the new one, they had another housewife that they like cut out in the beginning. They filmed with her and yeah. then they wound up just editing her out, I guess.
Yeah, so, they did. I don't they see did why that. They can't
do something.
They did that similar. With Sutton the first season that she was on there as well. She was supposed to be a housewife, but she couldn't because her ex-husband would, like wouldn't sign the release or something about her kids oh. filming. And you know, Bravo, especially Beverly Hills, they have a big like strict like if you're gonna be full time, we need to see inside that fucking home because that's what we're here for, girly. Like that, we want to see how many nannies, we want to see if you're yeah. a good mom, we need to see it all. So they demoted her, but took a lot of her scenes out because she was supposed to hold a diamond the first year. Oh, so I think that they're really good at doing that. But I think that also this current cast, they're going to need some time to breathe. And I think that if they're going to do that, a great addition to me actually would be Alice McCourt going to Rugged. And then getting her job back on Roni. Tamara could do it. I think she could do it. I think she missed her time and she doesn't have to be connected to this group. We've noticed that. And I think that it'd be very interesting to see a dynamic with a woman who never could fit in with the other group to see if she's, you know, now being rich enough or connected enough really isn't. It's a totally different, you know, criteria these days to be, you know, a yeah. solidified Roni housewife. We got influencers now and we used to have like, you know, Morgan. So we have a lot of, you know, shout out to Sai and her hungry ass. Mixed reviews about her too. I'm oh, here
mixed
for,
reviews. I've only heard one review and that was
it's not
people
good.
Do not yeah. like her.
It's so interesting. I think she suffers from pretty privilege because I'm looking at her and I'm like, I don't hate you. And I think it's just because you're pretty and I like your clothes. And that's not fair because you're probably terrible. And I'm just like distracted because I find her style to be in her bringing 17 bags and stuff to be so fascinating. The idea of a fashion influencer it like being serious business to these women is so fascinating, especially when you have someone like Jenna Lyons, like who like works, you know, and like does stuff. You know, there too, who's also a trailblazer for women. So it's just very interesting. Once this show figures out what they want to be, I think we'll see brighter days. We'll have a fresh take. It will probably never be 13 or 12 or whatever seasons of Countess Luann, you know, traveling and going to prison. But like, what would? Like, we can't.
I know, you forever can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, New Jersey's a totally different Jersey now than it was in the beginning. Totally,
I don't even
different.
Engage. And I Meredith Marks that shit. Sorry to swear, but I will yeah. not engage with New Jersey anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, it's not good. It's not great TV, but it used to be a totally different show. And that's what made it iconic. But it's mm-hmm. still on, even though it has nothing to do with those original roots yet. And we're over here rooting for Carolyn Manzo to be back on TV from those days. Like, come on. So, like, we know that, you know, we outgrow things. Some things we need to go back to. It's just, you know, I can't trust any of these girls to be anything yet, because on a show like Roni, there were no real stereotypical housewives. We don't have it. There is no blueprint. So it's almost like just lean in, you know, if Bon Mi and 24 hour Vietnamese trips is going to be your, you know, your thing, own it, baby. I love it.
I love that he does that.
I love that they could playfully have so many conversations about this. Like, it is both serious, non-serious. Yeah. He's just like, what the hell are you talking about? You're going to go halfway around the world to get a sandwich. And like, why don't you have a plan? Like, and that's really what I heard. It's just like, what a man thing to say. No offense. But he was like, I'm just gonna go. He was like, for
maybe
what?
A sandwich. He's I don't like, know.
Thinking about getting a Bon Mi. You're gonna go to Vietnam for a sandwich? We live in New York. Probably find a good Vietnamese Bon Mi sandwich, at least. That's not work. That he's like, yeah, but and he's in confessionals. I find the train, like the some people don't like flying, but I find the trip the best part. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh baby, live your life. Okay. He just yeah. wants a little break from the twins, and I understand.
I get it.
I feel you, man. He was like, if she gets to go and her mom is going to be here, can I go? I'm going to go too. I'm going to head out. I love that for him. Go get your sandwich. Stay quiet on a plane for 24 hours.
I'm really loving Jessel and Pavitt.
Saving Grace.
I hope to see them at BravoCon because I'm like a huge Pavitt fan now. Like,
oh, for sure.
He's so cool.
Iconic. I love them. I think they're a really great couple. Yeah.
Are you going to BravoCon?
I am working out going to BravoCon. Yes.
Working
the goal
it
is
out?
To go. Yeah, the goal is to go. I have been invited. I'm very excited. I'd like to go. It's the first year I'll probably actually make it. But like being a teacher is hard. So I can't think past the quarter because it's about to end. And so once I've met with a considerable amount of small human parents and small human makers about their child's ability to learn things that are fundamental to their overall, you know, life success, like addition and subtraction, then I can think into November, but like, I can't think past October the 27th because that's when the quarter ends. But the goal is to go. And I think in Vegas is amazing. I think that sounds so fun and a little bit like of a lit situation. Are you going?
Absolutely. BravoCon's only 3 days. I'm going for 6 days.
Love that. Yeah. Because you know, the pros are going to stay around. Yeah. They're going to stick around.
I have so many plans, things I want to do. I'm going to go early, get to the dispensary, hit that up right away. And then it's all Bravo 24/7.
That sounds so fun.
3 days straight.
Yeah. Like, listen, let me know, guys, if you're going to, you know, DM me, let me know if you're going, because I would love to do some meetups, especially if I can make it out there. Jenny, thank you so much for coming on. I love having you here. This was so fun.
This is so fun. Can we have a second date?
Yes, absolutely. I'm ready to move on to the next one. You know, I do accept this rose. It has been such a delight because you don't have problematic feelings about people that I absolutely love and or hate. And because Salt Lake City is tough. Polarizing characters. Mary divides a room. Lisa Barlow divides a room. Heather Gay divides a room. Meredith's disengaged ass even divides a room. It is a lot, you know, to try to work through and still like have positive conversations over. So it has been such a lovely time having you here. Please tell people where they can find you, listen to you, get involved with you. And you are so fun to watch, especially listen. We all have a little Bravo and Blaze. So how can they get to you?
So I'm on all social media, mostly Instagram, Twitter, TikTok a little bit, but Bravo and Blaze. And then on YouTube, I'm Jenny Blaze. My podcast is on Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. And I am kicking off season 5 very soon. So stay tuned for that.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go check out Jenny and support her on all the things. And thank you so much for supporting me. I have loved being back so far. It is something that I'm working out. Thank you for your patience, but it has been truly the best to get back into these shows and get back into some messy conversation with some of our faves and our new faves like Jenny. And of course, there is still Patreon happening. Kendrick and I actually just did an episode and talked about all the hot topics on Patreon, patreon.com/mixingwithmoni, doing a lot of some Housewives news, media, Shannon Bedore. I had some thoughts about that whole catastrophe and so much more because you know how we get into it. And this was truly so fun and I can't wait to do it again. There's a lot more to come. I got some things lined up and thank you for listening. You can find me on all the things at Mixing with Moni, MixingWithMani. As always, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. And you know what? Stay home. It's getting cold. The earth is like weird. There are things happening out there in the ether. Just stay at home and throw on that peacock, honey, and have you a nice time. Bye. For more about me, Bravo, Housewives, pop culture, and so much more, follow me on Instagram at MixingWithMoni, MixingWithMani.
so you can keep up with me. And don't forget to also leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts, if that's where you're listening, and rate me and maybe give me 5 stars. Thanks so much. Bye.